Everyone has a story. How they got here, where they met along the way, the choices they made, the dreams they are chasing. Welcome to Anthologies of Hope. Thank you for joining us to wrap up Season 2 of Anthologies of Hope this week. As always, I'm your host, Rick Osowski, and I'm not a mental health professional in any way, simply a mental health advocate with a passion for storytelling. It has been a wonderful season for sure. As we've heard since the inception of this podcast, both the guests and the listeners feel like family to each other, so a massive thank you to everyone who has shared their story so far, and to everyone who has listened to those stories and all the wonderful feedback we receive with each and every episode. Now, looking ahead to Season 3, after some much-needed time off this summer, we will be opening the aperture a little bit beyond the traditional long-form interviews we have done with the Hartkamp family so far. We will continue to have Hartkamp guests as our schedules allow, as I love sharing those conversations with the world, as well as having them just for myself. The part of Season 3 that I am super excited for is the additional content that we'll be looking to bring in. Other folks in the Chicago area and nationwide that are doing awesome things in the mental health space, either for themselves, for their community, or professionally. As part of that open aperture, we will also be bringing you up-to-the-minute mental health research and discussion in shorter, bite-sized episodes. This will allow us to turn all the material that we reference on a weekly basis into something much more actionable and let our listeners pick and choose what topics, therapies, and findings are most important to each of you. We will also be looking to open up other mediums of content to bring you the wonderful stories we have shared so far in Anthologies of Hope, starting with a blog coming online later this year at anthologiesofhope.com. If any of these things sound like something you'd want to be a part of, please reach out to us directly through any of our social media or our contact page on anthologiesofhope.com. We'd love to have you, work with you, and help you share your story. Getting to this week's episode, as we've alluded to in the past, Mike Van Opel from Hope for the Day joins us again as we run through all the interviews from the Sip of Hope coffee staff captured on the day of the one-year anniversary at Sip of Hope itself. In part one, you heard Johnny Boucher, the founder and CEO of Hope for the Day, as well as the brainchild behind Sip of Hope and the concept, lay out how the world's first proactive suicide prevention supporting coffee shop came to be. You also heard from the partners in prevention like Dark Matter Coffee's Kyle Hodges, as well as Cook County Commissioner Louis Arroyo, bringing in just how much of a community impact Sip of Hope has made in its first year. We closed it out by talking with Brian Kamisic, or BK, the general manager of Sip of Hope. He detailed what brought him to the coffee shop and what has been so valuable about leading the team behind the counter for the past year. This week, we dive into conversations with the baristas at Sip of Hope and get some answers to the questions we asked both Johnny and Brian in part one. Everything from what brought you to Sip of Hope, what you've learned in the past year, memorable experiences with shop patrons and community members, as well as how Hope for the Day's proactive suicide prevention, or peervention for short, strategy has benefited their lives on a daily basis. As we bring Season 2 to a close, don't miss out on our epically curated playlist with contributions from our weekly guests. You can find them at anthologiesofhope.com/playlist-season-2, anthologiesofhope.com/playlist-season-1, or you can also find our Pride Focus playlist that Gracie curated from our episode last week at anthologiesofhope.com/pride-playlist. Even though this week's tone is pretty celebratory, we'd like to remind you that if you're in a time of crisis, we'll be covering a range of potentially difficult topics. Please use this as a warning to seek help and come back to listen once you are in a more positive season. If you are in need of help, an abundance of international resources can be found on the Find Help pages from Troy Levener Arms and Hope for the Day. Troy Levener Arms can be found at twloha.com/find-help, and Hope for the Day can be found at hftd.org/find-help. As always, you can find us at anthologiesofhope.com, on Facebook and Instagram as Anthologies of Hope, on Twitter as Anthologies Pod, or email us directly at anthologiesofhope, all one word, no punctuation, at gmail.com. Like, subscribe, and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or let us know where you're listening to podcasts now and you currently can't find us. I won't bury the lead any longer, so we'll jump straight into my conversation with Mike and setting up the conversations with the wonderful Sip of Hope staff to wrap up Season 2 of Anthologies of Hope. Enjoy. This week with Mike Van Opel from Hope for the Day to recap our Sip of Hope part 2 1-year anniversary. Last week you heard the intro of basically the founder and the partners in prevention that helped get Sip of Hope into existence and where we are today. And then this week now we're jumping into the folks who are
the, you know, cogs in the wheel, the folks who keep that machine going day in and day out, who are interacting with the community, who are behind the counter serving up the great dark matter coffee. So anything you have to say, Mike, before we jump into it?
I'm really proud of our staff. Me and Carl got to train all of them on mental health first aid so that they have a very full range of skills to address people that may be nearing a crisis or identifying if someone is in fact at a crisis point, and just a deeper understanding of just how important it is to sometimes just listen and to try and do that non-judgmentally. Mm-hmm. And know kind of after listening kind of what things to suggest that might be helpful. But a lot of times they've found that just the listening and letting someone feel heard in that space, it can be some of the most powerful interactions that people walk away with. So,
and I think it comes across very well in the interviews you're about to hear, scattered among a couple of different questions, where it is more than just a get a cup of coffee, get on with your day type interaction. When, you know, to a person that we talked to today, they echo that sentiment that you just shared, where when they ask how you're doing, it's a legitimate conversation starter. It's a legitimate probing question and not just something that's the default response when you're at another coffee shop that just kind of a factory model of getting people through the door, getting them out the door and moving on. So it is something that has a definite unique feeling to it compared to any other type of coffee experience or just, you know, retail cafe experience that I've ever shared. So the format we'll go through is interviewing a number of the baristas. We'll run through who they are in a second, but the questions we go through are very similar to what you had, or what we captured last week with you and BK, the general manager of SIP, with the same handful of questions there. So we have Michelle Pirano, Bradley Bocci, Allison Lawrence, Lee Benziquin, Jackson Kidder, and Sister Sam coming up in a number of different questions. Not everybody answered all the same questions, but we have a number of responses from all of them. And I think the sentiments that are echoed this week definitely reflect what was shared last week with kind of Johnny's vision, what Kyle from Dark Matter was hoping to get out of a partnership with Hope for the Day. And then, you know, coming into it, what BK had set out to be as, you know, as the leader, the general manager coming into it, what he was looking to accomplish. And I think everybody here echoes those sentiments very well.
Yeah, it's incredible. And to Rachel and Aaron and anybody else that declined to interview, you're just as important to us. And we love you all. Couldn't do it without you.
Yeah, that's a good part to say, that this is only a small subsection or a subsection of the barista family for SIP.
Yeah, so we've got some new family now. So.
Yeah, so this is it's growing, and just the fact of people coming in and knowing that they can kind of pair that mental health first aid with the coffee experience is something that powerful and very endearing, to know that they want to come in and make it more of a place that feels like home, that people and a safe place that people can come to relax and not necessarily need to just kind of, you know, put their head down and forge ahead regardless of what else is going on.
That's great, guys. That's great.
So yeah, that was a group of beatkeepers at a CPS school that we do an after-school program with. Beatkeepers is like, think of it as a non-clinical version of music therapy, where you don't need to know how to play an instrument because we're manipulating loops on a computer. So it's very inclusive, but it's also the sneaky way to teach kids to work together and mm-hmm. communicate with one another in more productive ways, and then tying it all back to how you can use music and any self-expression as a valve to relieve pressure and manage your stress on the daily so that you can have the highest quality of life possible. Great group of little guys and gals, third grade to sixth grade, and they said, hey guys, you want to sing Happy Birthday to SIP? And they're like, absolutely. So.
Yeah, that was awesome when I heard it. So hopefully we'll be able to use that for many more years to come. Let's jump right into it. So the first question we ask is, how did you get involved with Sip of Hope? And we've got, I think, the full house of everybody answering this question. So in the responses that we got from the folks that our listeners are about to hear, was there anything that was surprising for you from any of these?
I mean, some people had coffee experience prior to working with dark matter, but the overwhelming kind of answers on that point is that working for dark matter and doing it the dark matter way is a whole different world than the coffee that they had worked in prior to that, say Starbucks or something along those lines. And I mean, Allison in particular just like gushed about being able to finally be able to work with dark matter and have that connection, because they have some of the best coffee in the world, if not the best.
So it definitely goes into either folks had been in the dark matter family or had been friends with Johnny for a really long time, and those kind of just tended to intersect. And so that even just speaks to more of the kind of family affair that it grew out of. So that was awesome to hear across all the different responses here as well. So we'll get into in order. Michelle, then Brad, Allison, Lee, Jackson, and Sister Sam again.
What is your name?
My name is Michelle.
And were you brought to Sip of Hope?
So I came to Sip of Hope to work here because I live in the neighborhood. I love dark matter coffee, and I also love mental health. And I thought all of it coming together was really interesting, and I couldn't not be a part of it.
That's amazing. And then, and if I'm not mistaken, you and Brian, shop manager.
Yes.
Have known each other a while.
Yes, Brian and I have known each other a while. I didn't know he was going to be the shop manager.
That's amazing.
And then,
serendipity.
Yes. And then I reached out to him to ask him if he knew anything about the shop opening, since at the time he was working for Dark Matter. And he said, guess what? I'm going to be running the joint.
You're like, da-da-da-da.
Yeah, yeah. So then
let's
that's how I
came
do
right this.
Here. Yeah, yeah, it was great.
Awesome.
My name is Brad Bocci.
And what do you do at Sip of Hope?
I'm a barista.
Awesome.
And a curator of great experiences.
Amazing. And what brought you to Sip of Hope in the first place?
Well, I went to high school with the Bouchers, and when my band was traveling, I was originally introduced to Johnny, and like the idea of beekeepers, actually, and it was something that I wanted to do, but I had no time, and like it seemed like when I was home, we never connected. And once I stopped traveling with my band, I needed work, and so a couple days actually before they were sending applications, I hit up Johnny and asked him when the shop was opening, because I moved into this neighborhood, and
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, it was kind of meant to be.
Nice. Did you work at coffee before this?
Sort of. I mean, I worked at Starbucks and had like the general treatment, but I it's kind of far removed from what dark matter does as far
so
as like a barista.
Getting the dark matter treatment was
it was awesome.
Like a whole new world.
Yeah, going to the lab. I don't know. It's a cool culture to almost immerse yourself in, and I think it translates well to what we do at Sip.
Absolutely. What's your name?
Allison Lawrence.
And how did you get brought into the Sip of Hope?
Specifically, my friend Dashney is really good friends with Johnny.
Cool.
So she referenced me to Hope for the Day when I was looking to volunteer. And it was kind of hard to work out a volunteering like opportunity for me. And then she sent me the link about the coffee shop opening. And I followed the link through Instagram and emailed Brian. And within a few hours, he emailed me back and I came into the shop before. It was actually come together. It was still in shambles at the time.
Yeah, like
and we
hole in the floor and stuff
yep.
like that, yeah.
You know, nothing was set up at the time. This wasn't an office yet. He's like, this will be an office eventually.
Right.
Interviewed with him and then started working. He officially like was like, yeah, we'll have you like the next day.
What is your name?
I'm Lee Benziquin.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Just kidding, man. I know you.
Yeah.
What brought you to Sip of Hope, Lee?
I started working at Sip of Hope when Johnny Boucher, who was a regular at the coffee shop I used to work at, told me about this project. And he and I got along really well, and I immediately told him that I was interested.
Cool.
And there's not much else between.
Where did you work before?
I used to work at Osmium. which was around the corner from the offices, the old offices.
Yeah, the old offices. Cool. That's awesome. So yeah, you got that dark matter family history too, man.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. That's so awesome. I guess I didn't know that movie.
My name is Jackson Kidder. And how were you brought into the Sip of Hope world?
It was very coincidental. I was a barista for 2.5 years before that and had been out of it for about 4 months. And I was doing music full time. And I kind of realized that I, you know, was in need of some more money. So I was thinking about getting a job. And then a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a couple of years tagged my name on an Instagram post for Sip of Hope. It said, you know, brand new coffee shop opening up in Logan Square, looking for baristas. And it probably said something about suicide prevention and hope for the day, but I honestly didn't see it at first. And I was like, yeah, I live in Logan Square. That could be cool. And I went for an interview and they offered me the job the next day. And I was like, wow, I guess I have a job. I was pretty okay with not having a job yesterday. But then, like, even just a week in, I realized it was really cool, and I'm really happy I'm here now.
Cool. My name is Sam. Well, I've always wanted to be a barista, and I've been working with Hope for the Day for, like, 4 years. And then when Johnny said that he was going to be opening it, I wanted to be a part of it, because I usually do behind-the-scenes stuff, and I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to be more, like, face-to-face with people and be able to actually start a conversation.
So you were around when the bag of coffee was first coming together then?
Yes, I was.
That's pretty cool. Was that, did you ever dream it would become what it's become?
Well, I honestly never even thought that a bag of beans could become a coffee shop. But I do remember when Johnny first brought the idea up. It was, to me, I thought it was amazing, but I did not expect it to be as incredible as it is.
All right, so you just heard all the baristas and how they got involved with Sip of Hope. So the next question that we have in order coming up here is, what have you learned in the past year at Sip? And I'm sure everybody that's been to the shop has a handful of responses to this, you know, start to finish. And we have the full house here again in order from Michelle, Brad, Allison, Lee, Jackson, and Sister Sam. But is there anything that stuck out to you as far as what some of what folks have learned in the past year?
I just love the fact that most of them have been humbled by this experience. And it's also been quite sobering as well, mm-hmm. like to see in a community just how many people are flocking to it and being like, yeah, I'm somebody that's lost, and this place means the world to me, and people traveling far and wide. I think all of those things kind of factor into the next couple questions, actually. So just humbling and extremely sobering to know just how many people have been touched or by the loss of suicide and been just so moved by taking such a negative thing and turning it into a positive thing for other people, so that they may be able to get the help they need or be able to talk about something then weren't able to talk about before.
Yeah, and this is kind of a lead into the next question, like you said, but the humbling aspect is one that was really profound for me, and kind of probably something that was unexpected when you're going to work at, you know, coming into a just quote-unquote a coffee shop, mm-hmm. albeit one you know is going to be a little bit different. So coming up, we've got what have you learned in the past year at SIP?
I have learned that while working in coffee, since I've worked in coffee in a lot of different other arenas, that I can sometimes get really frustrated and just kind of burnt out on working in coffee, especially just like as much as I'm a people person, the customer service side can be really exhausting.
Oh, hell yeah.
But here, I've been able to realize that we're here for other reasons and we're here to have different conversations with people. So if I'm kind of in that funk or in that mood, I would like, it encourages me to talk to people about other things, because we're here to talk about mental health. We're here to talk about suicide and the hard things that people don't want to talk about, but it gets me out of my customer service like head of things. Yeah. And I like, and then I have a really great day and I have really good conversations with people.
Best advice I ever got from somebody when I was in the hospital, left me a note as he was getting discharged. Said, "Stay out of your head, Mike."
Yeah.
I guess he got to know me pretty well. And just yeah. Best advice sometimes. Mm-hmm. Stay out your head. So what sticks out in your memory as one of the most impactful experiences you've had at the shop, either with customers or with your peers or staff?
I can answer that kind of like on two levels. So one of the first months we were here, a family was doing like a memory tour for this woman's son who she had lost. And they were handing out these green shirts that said like free hugs. And it was the first time where I had ever been in a job where I had like a sense of dexterity. Like I got to walk away from making coffee for a while and I spent like almost 2 hours with them just like talking about her son and asking his name and asking what he likes to do. And like we talked about him like he was right there. And so for a few minutes, like I think he was. And I've never had that experience before in coffee. You know what I mean? I think at that moment I realized like, oh, wow. Like the words on the wall kind of make sense. Like it gave me some perspective as to what we were getting ourselves into by opening ourselves up to people who are struggling. The stories are there. You know better than almost anybody. You know what I mean? And so that kind of rocked my world. I went home that day and I had like this physical thing that represented what had happened. And like I think it helped prepare me more for like sharing those experiences with people as they continue to come in. And then I think on a personal level, I mean, I've seen all my coworkers grow so much. Like when we first met, we had no idea what this was going to be. You know, we didn't know that it was going to be on television, especially national television. We didn't know that Barack Obama was going to tweet about us. I think as a musician, I've had to do press and stuff before. And so you know what to expect. But to have other people who are used to making coffee drinks and maybe saying, like, hey, thanks for the beverage, you know, like that's entirely different for them to experience that and experience like the whirlwind around what this place has been. I think we've all learned a lot about Logan Square. Like Logan Square is ready for this place and they spoke with their money. And if you really want the other facets of Chicago to pay attention, you have to speak that language. And the fact that we've done that and like provided you guys with metrics that yeah. prove that this shit works, I think that like that's power. You know what I mean? Like we're speaking a universal language. People value this place. Like they say it every day.
It's important to listen, and it's not always required that you have a lot to say or offer back. Listening can sometimes be just as important as offering something to that person in exchange. Most of the time, they just want to talk. So yeah. if you can listen, you don't always have to have advice to give them. Listening is more than enough. So like learning to listen and be quiet is hard because I like to talk and interrupt people. So learning to just listen and hear what they have to say is really important to a lot of people that come in wanting to share their stories.
I think the thing that I've learned the most, or the thing that has crystallized the most, crystallized yeah. itself, has been how desperately people want to talk about these things that most of us don't talk about.
Yeah.
And how once you start talking about it, it becomes so easy to talk about. I always used to be a big proponent of talking about things like that, just in my own life, my own mental health. And as soon as I would start the conversation, other people would immediately open up and start talking as well. And here you just experience that way more often.
Yeah.
You see people come in and tear up just because of the signs on the wall that say, it's okay not to be okay. Because so many of us are not used to talking about it.
I think a lot of kind of the mantras of Sip of Hope and Hope for the Day stick with me for sure. It's okay not to be okay, and have hope are both very powerful statements. I think a lot of the time words can mean a lot. whether it's negative or positive. And I feel like specifically have hope is a very positive phrase that comes back in my life. And I'm just happy to be around people that are promoting those ideas and just helping each other out.
Well, I guess the biggest thing is I just didn't realize the kind of impact that we could have on, like, just everybody. There's been people who've come from, like, Brazil to come here, and, like, there's been actually quite a few people that have come from other countries that are like, heard about you on the news, and I just wanted to say that it means a lot to me, so I wanted to come by. And it's just, like, really beautiful to see that, like, it can go so far, and all that it needs to do is literally just start the conversation. But I will say, probably my most memorable, not gonna lie, was probably when Wednesday on the actual, like, anniversary party, we had customers come in and bring us cake and, like, a pie and pizza, and they were just, like, really, really appreciative of everything that we've done. And it's just amazing to see, like, the fact that we appreciate them as much as they appreciate us, and it's just really beautiful.
All right, so you just heard from all of our baristas everything that they learned, or at least some of the major things that they learned in the past year while working at Sip of Hope. And now moving on, we have a couple amazing accounts or tales of what was the most impactful experience that these folks have had over the last year. So we get some pretty good responses from Michelle, Allison, Lee, Jackson, and Sister Sam. So the kind of combining everything that we've said so far as it being coffee done the dark matter way, but also just working at SIP in that environment, being very humbling. Some of the experiences that the folks are going to share here are things that you would expect to see in movies. They're definitely very, you know, very story driven, almost, you know, idyllic.
I think the coolest part is that putting them on the spot to say, hey, what's the most impactful experience you've had over this whole last year? And you could just see it in their eyes that it is so many things. There were so many impactful experiences, and it was really hard for them to kind of narrow it down to one. But the ones that they chose to share, I think, really speak for themselves.
So here you have it, the most impactful experience over the last year at Sip of Hope.
I think with customers, it's always really interesting when people come in and say that they've seen us somehow, like, through social media, or they saw us on the like, Today Show or whatever. Like, just all those interactions where people come in that took their time out of their day to come here, whether it's from down the street or whether it's from Canada or California or wherever, that's really cool. And that's just surprising that, like, the message is actually reaching pretty far, and it's stemming from the shop. And the media that, like, Hope for the Day is getting. But also everyone that works here, I hope that we'll all be friends forever, because we're all really friendly with each other and we just mesh really well together.
On that note of, I guess, what we're here for and all about, I've definitely, like, you know, talked to customers who came in from far away. You know, they made it a point when they were traveling through to stop in and, you know, share their stories and just listen to them and, you know, them thank you and all this kind of stuff. I've like witnessed a lot of those that were very important. Some of them aren't regular, so I don't even know their names. They stopped in once and they're like, well, we're like from four states away, but we had to come by, or we drove out here and stopped by. So seeing a lot of that was really cool. And then since Johnny has tied this place to a lot of his other Hope for the Day endeavors music wise, I got to meet Neck Deep when they came here. And I love Neck Deep.
That's awesome.
He warned me they were coming by. Yeah, he warned me, and I spent my whole lunch break talking to that band. So
that's great. That's great.
It was wonderful.
So I'd say that counts as a memorable.
Oh, that was one of the best days. Yeah, they bought a lot of stuff too.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, we're really lucky to have so many people interested in being a part of the mission.
They were they're on the wall. They're one of the supporters when we were, like, getting ready to open
wall.
Up. Yeah.
Shout out, Neck Deep.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. Great Welsh lads.
One of my coworkers, Brad, is just a wonderful human being and just kind of exudes an aura of love and loving kindness. And one day a woman came in and was clearly very touched by this place. And she mentioned something about her brother, but didn't go into much detail. And she just kind of like maybe clutched her shirt and started to tear up very nicely. And Brad immediately said, "Do you want a hug?" Like with a big smile on his face. And she said, "Yeah." And he ran around the counter, full on ran, and grabbed her. And they just shared such a nice hug. And she started to cry. And it was just like such a beautiful moment. And I felt so lucky to work with people like that, like Brad, because everybody that works here is just as kind as Brad is.
I've had a number of experiences working here where someone may come to the counter and they might already be a little teary-eyed and mention that they lost someone to suicide. And those are always very intense moments that it's really an honor to be able to share a moment like that with someone and give them the space to share something that they've gone through and be able to show support, even if that might just be a listening ear or a reminder to have hope. I remember one gentleman in particular who came in and was talking about how he was struggling with depression, and we had a fairly long conversation just kind of talking about how it's really important that we stay positive when things might really be looking dark, and remembering to have hope and know that even if it's not okay, if you feel not okay right now, that's okay. And it's okay not to be okay. Just talking to someone earlier tonight, talking about an organization called Darkest Before the Dawn. That's another phrase that's pretty powerful. You know, sometimes you're in a really dark place, and remembering that the dawn will come, that's a really important piece of advice, I think, for a lot of people, myself included.
Honestly, I wouldn't say any one memory. It's just every time I interact with a customer, like a deep interaction, I leave the conversation, I feel like, knowing a little bit more about me and people in general. And that includes even my coworkers. I feel like I've grown so much just because of the people around me. It's really cool.
All right, so you just heard five of our baristas detailing some of the pretty awesome and impactful experiences over the last year, be it from themselves or watching some of their peers have them and kind of interact with patrons and community members. So with that and everything you've heard so far, we can't help but kind of realize that there's a lot going on in the community. There's a lot that's being done by the baristas for the community with folks coming in. But there's also a lot that, you know, Hope for the Day puts into SIP and the programming and the messaging and all the work we've done with Conversations Cafe and some of the other stuff. So it would go to reason that, you know, a lot of the proactive prevention methodology and messaging comes into the daily life of the baristas at SOAP. So you end up having the proactive prevention impacts on your daily life while, you know, you're walking the walk and talking the talk to the folks that come in. So we wanted to see how that affected the baristas on a daily basis, or if they've put that into practice. So
that was cool too, because they weren't expecting that question. I felt like that was the one that was like, oh wait, like
caught them off guard.
Yeah, I don't know. Has it? Yeah, I think. Yeah.
You know, like, well, and then I know in Michelle's response, she's like, well, it's, and I think even you kind of mentioned when you're talking with her, like, it's not as much as I should be doing. Like, I know I should be doing it more, or I know I should be circling back more, or focusing more on it. So it's, again, it is one of the ones where you get the more honest answers and the
very
more
humanizing.
Yeah. the more unprocessed answers, because it was catching them off guard. But there's some great responses here, and Jackson, I think, hit a home run with his answer here.
Oh my goodness.
And so, I mean, there's, again, so much that there's so many, you know, nuggets of gold in here for this, and that's why, like, I love going in and talking to everybody there. So this round, you've got Michelle, Allison, Jackson, and Sister Sam for how has the proactive prevention impacted their daily life?
Yes, I think so. I want it to. Have I made phone calls yet to get back into counseling and back into therapy? No.
I've been working on that.
Yeah.
Myself for a year.
Yeah.
Medicaid is weak when it comes to
right.
what I can go.
Yeah. So definitely insurance is really difficult in figuring out who you can see, when you can see them, how often, whatever. Also, my endeavors of trying to become a social worker is, and especially like dealing in mental health, like everything is just perfectly happening all at the same time for me right now, which is really great. And the shop is impacting me in so many different ways. And kind of giving me like a good education, even though I'm paying a lot of money to go get my education, I'm learning a lot more from being here than I am at school sometimes.
It's like field work.
It is you're, like field you're in work.
The field constantly, you get a bonus.
I think so. It's the most home feeling that any job has ever given me. So like, you know, coming here, you're always put in a better mood, even if like you know, you're not having a great day or work didn't go well. I just have felt more comfortable at home here than any other coffee job I've ever had. So that, you know, I come here on my off days to hang out a lot too. I've showed up crying when I wasn't even working. And, you know, then Michelle like took me out for dinner and talked afterwards and stuff. So stuff like that you don't have with every job or like every people like you work with, you don't always have that with everyone. So.
I think it definitely has. Definitely was not something that I had really thought of before I worked here. And I think I'm not alone in being someone who has been affected by suicide, in knowing, having family members and friends who have completed, and having close friends and family members who have loved ones who I maybe didn't know, but who completed, and that's affected their life a lot. I'm in that situation, yet it wasn't so clear to me that that was an issue.
Yeah.
You know, it was like someone tells you that they lost a loved one to suicide or you lose someone to suicide. And it's the kind of issue that gets swept under the rug if you are not really affected by it personally.
Yeah.
And so it was helpful for me to hear these phrases and stories working here and be able to kind of examine my own life and those people in my life who I maybe wasn't being a great friend to when they went through certain things. And also personally, I've noticed some tendencies in my life that are not super healthy, you know? Yeah. And so it's good to examine those. Definitely. Yeah, I think the proactive part of prevention is, I haven't necessarily heard that phrase anywhere outside of Hope for the Day, but it also seems so simple and kind of obviously, once you think about it, kind of the way to prevent suicide, because if you're not proactive about it, you know, how are you going to stop it, you know?
Yeah.
I'd say it definitely has, especially being in a place like this. It makes me feel way more comfortable just being able to speak about whatever is happening with my brain. So I feel like whenever I'm working here, it is like a weird little vent thing that I can just like talk with my coworkers and like let out anything that was just kind of frustrating. And then it turns out, of course, that they're like, this is very similar to what I'm dealing with. And just like being able to have a conversation seems to have helped a lot with just like having people that I feel comfortable having a conversation with.
So you just heard how proactive prevention and Hope for the Day's methodology and practices have impacted some of the SIP staff's daily life. As we mentioned last week, we ended up having a community member that was sponsoring SIP of Hope and the ability to get it off the ground with Cook County Commissioner Louis Arroyo. Now, this week, we wanted to bring up and kind of talk to what is some of the community impact that Sip of Hope has had with both community members, as far as I guess you should say intake or output into the community. And so we've got some good response from Michelle and Brad on this as far as the community impact and overall presence and kind of change that you've seen in the Logan Square neighborhood over the past year.
Yeah, and it's really amazing. Like every day I get to see new bits of community impact. Anytime I'm stopping in to drop off errand or just get a drink or knock out some work or have a meeting. And I just don't think that's ever going to stop being cool. You
know? And I think it ends up being a massive 1+1=3 type scenario, because you always have work and business and communication being done at any type of coffee shop in any place. But it's been told to me many times that people specifically seek out SIP to go and do the work that they need to related to mental health and processing and a lot of the kind of the other programs that everybody that's been on this podcast is a part of. So you end up having a lot of ability to collaborate and a lot of ability to grow inside the community just implicitly, whereas in any other given coffee shop, you've got people across all other types of industries. But here you end up having a lot of folks that are very focused and very driven and very empowered to do a lot of work in the space. And so you see a lot of, you know, cross discussion and advocacy and yeah, stuff just kind of pop up organically. So that's been the beautiful thing for me. And I hope to see that kind of grow into the future as well.
Yeah,
so
many people just walking in those doors have a very big focus on social impact in their hearts, right? But I think what also blows my mind more than anything is people that are living with, you know, a stacked deck against them, say they've got a diagnosable mental disorder, like, and you know, their depressive states make it hard to get out the door, mm-hmm, some days, to be in a space that is accepting and welcoming of the battle that they wage every day is almost like this extra bit of support just by being in the space, so that they sit down to get their work done there and they feel more capable of crushing, mm-hmm, it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, you end up, they'll sit down and they'll see the artwork on the wall that says, you know, it's okay not to be okay. They'll look at, you know, some of the Lauren Astle wall and be inspired and some of that stuff. So it ends up being a case where, exactly like you said, where the deck may be stacked against them, but they come in there and feel like it's kind of leveling the playing field for them a little bit, where they're able to have a little bit of a boost and folks sitting behind them. So to see the community embrace Sip of Hope as much as the intent was to go and do good in the community for Hope for the Day and the Sip staff has been awesome too. So with this one, we've got some answers from Michelle and Brad coming up for the community impact of Sip of Hope over the last year.
I don't know if it's due to Sip of Hope or Hope for the Day, but I've been seeing more mental health things pop up, and I've been kind of more attuned to seeing that happen within the community. So maybe indirectly it's happening because of the shop, and people are starting to actually talk about mental health more so. So yeah,
I know people who like have looked for this place and have found it. We have regulars and they're my friends now. Like we have a couple people who live like just right next door who come in here regularly. I look forward to that. You know, yeah, what I mean? And it's become an integral part of my day. And like that ultimately still means the shop is doing its job. You know, like, yeah, I think that people have an opportunity to talk about something that matters when they come in here. And I've seen a lot of people use like even like their moment ordering coffee is an opportunity for them to affirm why they're here and the fact that they're making a conscious choice with what they're doing. And like if somebody can walk out and feel really good about what they did, there's a much higher chance they come back. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? And like people feeling a part of this is what's going to continue it as a movement. And I feel like at least on the ground floor, we have an opportunity to do that every day with the people who care, because people who sought us out for a reason. And so like all of a sudden you make like a 1% change in their day, and like that grows throughout the course of the day as they interact with other people. And we're aware of that. You know what I mean?
Like, hell yeah.
That's wild for a barista job, man.
All right. right, so we'll round out our Sip of Hope 1 year anniversary episode with the last question that we've got here. If our proactive prevention question caught most folks off guard, this one kind of caught them off guard too, but I think we had a little bit more candid answers for this one than the last one.
That's a fun question.
So we've got most of the folks here with Michelle, Allison, Lee, Jackson, and Sister Sam, but what was, this question is, what is the favorite thing about working at Sip of Hope? And we've got some pretty varied responses and some pretty funny ones too.
I think we were able to bottle the most joy in this particular question. It's almost like, I know this is an audio podcast, but it almost becomes like a little video podcast in your head because you can like see
exactly.
The smiles. You can see the light in these people's eyes as they're speaking, just, kind of taking in these answers. And I think that's pretty cool.
And it's... As I heard the responses to this question, there was a lot of sentiment coming back to me where one of the kind of things I shared in my episode earlier this season with Amanda interviewing me is one of my kind of mantras is like, you don't know what's going to happen or you never know what's going to happen, but you need to be here to experience it. And I think that there's a lot of that in these answers, is that a lot of what makes these events or these things their favorite things at SIP is because when they started, they didn't think they didn't start there with that intention of happening. So a lot of it's just this organic magic that comes out of nowhere and has, you know, brought light into their day job and coming in and doing it in a day in and day out and interacting with the community and just seeing all of this stuff happen magically and organically has really brought a lot of smiles and that energy that is able to take an audio podcast to the video podcast in your mind. So I'm glad you put it that way. So with this, we've got the favorite thing about working at SIP for the past year, but from, again, Michelle, Allison, Lee, Jackson, and Sister Sam.
That I can come in and be silly and say weird things to people, and that's okay.
Awesome. Cool, man. Well, thank you for all your contributions year one of SIP Hope.
Thank you for doing everything that you do. Yay. You're like the rock star of it all.
I guess.
You are.
Thank you so much.
We need 10 of you.
I mean, I've always wanted to work with Dark Matter.
Awesome.
You know, like I've never had a close connection with them other than like going into their store. So it's nice having them as like our partner.
Yeah.
Like it's some of the best coffee in the city.
Hell yeah. Maybe the country.
Yeah, I would say one of the best. People know them in other countries.
I guess at Boston at the Gourmet Coffee or Specialty Coffee Expo, there was much talk about Dark Matter being the standout.
Yeah. I made friends with a barista when I was in Cardiff when I was visiting Wales, and the barista had even heard of Dark Matter over there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of them. Looked them up on like line. He's like, oh, yeah, I know who they are. All right. That was really cool.
It probably is that. I've worked in places before where the coworkers all get along really well. But I've never quite worked in a place where we just like lift each other up and encourage growth within amongst one another.
My favorite part of working here is the people, that being the people who work here and the people who come in as customers. Definitely have a lot of people I've met here that I'm glad to call good friends. And I'm always looking forward to coming here. When I work, I'm never like regretting it.
Besides for the fact that I've become like a master drink maker, that's like amazing.
That's the best.
Honestly, just like the people that I've met is just like, I'm very thankful for them because I feel like they helped shape me into a better person.
All right, so that wraps it up. We got our 6 questions with a plethora of answers from some of the SIP staff here. Thank you, everybody, for indulging Mike and I on the crazy, chaotic day of May 1st while everyone was also serving up the multitude of the Logan Square community and beyond with plenty of folks coming through the door that day, as well as free Cliff Bars, later in the day free ice cream, free buttons, or button making. And so it was a great community day, and being able to capture all of these interviews was pretty awesome. So I'm hoping we can do some of these on, you know, the second anniversary, third anniversary, and beyond. So anything from your end before we wrap it up?
Well, I guess anybody out there listening, despite anything you've been through, it's okay not to be okay. And help us keep fighting the darkness together. We'll move this big old boulder.
Excellent. So with that, that wraps it up for our multi-part episode of the Sip of Hope 1 year anniversary. Thank you so very much for joining us this week. We hope you had as good a time listening as we had recording the interview. Don't forget to check out anthologiesofhope.com/playlist for all the awesome songs that will get added each week. You can find us on social media at Anthologies of Hope on Facebook and Instagram, and Anthologies Pod on Twitter. It would be great if you could subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or Google, and leave us a review. As always, remember, everyone has a story, and it's about time we start listening.